Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the way. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I had this thought in prayer yesterday, and this is what came of it. Is God religious? Or is it only man that's religious? Because God never changes. Religion requires a change. It's by nature a change. That's really what religion is, a change. God never changes. That's why we say, and many said this about me many, many years ago, a man gets religion. Well, what happened to old so-and-so? Well, he got religion and such things like that, or they found a religion. We have all sorts of religions. I didn't even look up how many. Everybody's got a religion, you see. Paul changed. He actually, I like to say he lost his religion, in a sense. Christ was a fulfillment, a restoration of what already was. He was the second Adam. And I've found that most in religion, they're like Pharaoh. Their religion suits the malady, whatever's going on. And they use that religion for a situation that's going on in their life. I mean, they really do. I mean, I'd say we do. And then as soon as the malady, or you might say with Pharaoh, the frogs or the locusts or whatever, is gone, well, so's the religion. And then another malady or something else comes along, and now we got religion again. Or perhaps we go to church on Sunday, and now we have religion again. Or we get on our knees once a day or twice a day, and then we have religion. And we sit down to eat, and we say a little prayer, and now we have religion. I read an article this week. I got a publication, and they call a Christmas tree the tree of life. The tree of life. And it is, to many, a tree, a season, a ritual. And it changes their demeanor. It changes people. It really does change people. It's a religion. For a few days or a few weeks, their whole personality changes. Sort of like people, when they go to AA or NA or... And for a while, and even some of them for a lifetime, they have a change. Music can have that effect. Music can have a great effect on people. You remember David playing before Saul, and he'd get ready to tell you, oh, wait, I like that song. You know. And especially, now listen, religious music. Boy, that, now that's the deal. Religious music. I've seen Amazing Grace bring tears to the most hardened sinner's eyes. And man, they'll just boo-hoo. They got religious, you see. They got them, they hear Amazing Grace, and man, all of a sudden, everybody in the bar starts crying, you see. That's religion. You might say emotion. That's emotion, okay? So I'd ask, we're all emotional. We're emotional beings. We have emotions. Is God an emotion? And the answer to that, I think, sadly, is that to most, he is. So I consider my earthly father, Dad. He's gone, of course, but my dad, their dad's here. He's not an emotion. Right? Is he an emotion? What's your dad? Oh, he's an emotion. He's a feeling. And yet we look at God. We're created in his image. And everybody becomes emotional. And so then we have a religion. I'm a person filled with all sorts of emotion. God is not to be one of them. You say, well, explain. I can't explain that. The message that I told you I was going to preach, Moses said, well, who are you? I am. It's all you need to know, boy. I am that I am. Remember when Aaron and they go before Pharaoh and they have Moses tells him to throw his rod down and it became a serpent. Now, I have an emotional image of that because I saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. I think it came out in the 50s. And I saw it as soon as it came out, and I've seen it several times since. And so this rod, it becomes a serpent. It becomes a snake. But you know what few fail to realize is that the Egyptian magicians and priests, they did the same thing. They threw their rods down, and their rods became snakes. You see? Melissa and I were talking this morning. I used to go to these evangelical churches, and especially in a Pentecostal church, and they'd preach about the devil, and they go, oh, old Slewfoot, I'm not afraid of him. He's got nothing on me. And man, I'm thinking, yeah, well, you know, Michael was an archangel, and it took him 21 days to get here because the devil withstood him. But you got it covered. I get it. You see. Oh, and a third of the angels, they went with him, but you're tougher than they are, you see. And so they threw their rods down. They became serpents also. And so when I say that, because now we're talking about religion, now we have signs and wonders. And boy, they elicit a lot of emotions, you see. A lot of emotion. And a lot of religions are based on, sadly, evangelical, are based on pure emotion. And the one thing that Jesus, I say the one thing, you might say that, that he vehemently warned against, signs and wonders. Five of the ten virgins, they had no oil for the lamps, and they went and they, you remember, and they sought to buy them. They sought to buy some, ran off to town or wherever to get some oil. Do you know those in Christ have never purchased the first drop of oil? And yet they have plenty of oil for their lamps. We, those in Christ, are as those who never thirst. You see. Amen? We never thirst. I preached many years ago on all that's required to evoke religious spirit. You go to a church building. And they build all these big cathedrals and but there's always something, even if it's a little church, all sorts of things, and it'll bring about emotion. People will wear a cross. You got the church building itself, pews. Oh, look at those pews. Boy, that's old timey. That's just old school. That's like it used to be. Stained glass. Statues, icons. We have icons. Beads. You name it. Incense, candles, and on the list goes. Like the brazen serpent in the wilderness, you remember? And what happened with that thing? They went a whoring after it. One of the big issues in the New Testament church, when the early church, circumcision. It was huge. They had to have a big meeting. And all the apostles got together, and the Bible intimates that they argued vehemently over this, over circumcision. But James, Jesus' brother, he straightened them out in that thing. We're not going to read it. We've spoken of it many times. It reminds me of wearing a suit in the pulpit. I remember when I first started praying, I got a picture of me in that suit. Oh, I got a suit on. Well, now I look like a preacher, see? Look at me. 36 years later, you see. But you try this in a fundamental, independent Baptist church. You see. You enter that pulpit in a polo shirt and tell them that you no longer have to sin, and they'll be just like those that stoned Stephen. I heard a preacher say that a message I listened to, like maybe some of you heard it in the past couple weeks, and said he and his wife, they finally got some time off and they went to Hawaii and sat on the beach and drank Mai Tais. And he said, and if that offends you, I would ask you to repent. And I couldn't agree more with him. Spurgeon puffed on a cigar. Did y'all know that? I'm not going to go listen to him. He smokes cigars. You see? Did you know he suffered depression? Smokes cigars and he's depressed. Has bouts of depression. He can't know the Lord. And he was deeply cut by the Baptists of his day. Caused him great trouble. You see? You see the difference between Spurgeon and the preacher on the beach and the Pharisee in the suit is religion. Because man seems to always be limited, man, the natural man, by his subjective opinions. I read a parable it's a Far East parable, and it has to do with blind men, and they take it's been brought down for centuries, they say, and they have these blind guys go up to an elephant, and each one feels goes up, you know about that, and he feels part of the elephant, and they start calling each other liars. No, an elephant is a long, pointy thing. And no, an elephant has a moving. And no, an elephant's a big round. You see, that's what happens. I've watched it happen with this Bible over and over and over. I've told you, you name me the religion, and I'll name you their verse. I'll name you their part of the elephant in this book. And now, they're religious. They've got a religion. I had to like one such a one as that. Some of you know him. And he said, you can't be born again. You can't possibly be born again. You like Donald Trump. No born again child of God can possibly like Donald Trump. And you said you could kill somebody if you had to. No child of God could possibly kill another man. That's what he told me. You should have heard him when I said, you don't have to sin anymore, brother. To this day, he refuses to speak to me. But he's still got his suit on and his King James Bible, though. God help him if he finds out that Jesus was tempted in all like manner. Now listen to me. God help him if he finds out that Jesus, our Lord, was tempted in all like manner. Listen, is me. Not him, of course. It's me. That's an amazing thing. Because I've lived longer than any of you. And I know the temptations. And he was tempted in all like manner as me. And he made it. He made it. Not only that, but he made the way for me to make it. That's not religion. That's life eternal. or as old preacher said, life supernal. That's overcoming sin and death. You know, I didn't have to go to Jerusalem to go to Calvary. Didn't have to get a visa. Didn't have to hop aboard an airplane. Now that's the gospel. My personal Calvary was in a very small house on a lake. And you know what? I don't need to go back to that place. I don't need to go back and revisit it. You know, Jacob, he had to go back to Bethel. Lester Roloff preached back to Bethel. It's a great message, good message. But you and I don't have to go back to Bethel. He had to go back to Bethel because that fulfillment of Christ hadn't come to him, hadn't come yet. He was still looking forward to that thing. You see, it wasn't a place. Now you get that. It wasn't a place, thank God. It wasn't Katie's Baptist Church. And it wasn't a little house on the lake. It wasn't a place. The religious, they espouse a specific place and a specific time. But like the blind man given his sight, as I was blind, now I see. I doubt that he cared much where he was. Man, tell us all about it. What time was it and where were you? I was blind and now I can see, amen. He said, whereas I was blind, now I see. And if such be not your testimony, I'd question your what? Your religion. My religion is Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's my religion. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Book of Hebrews chapter 13. Read verse 8 through verse 16. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about, amen, with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. There you go. Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, the religious. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's all there is. And it's not in the camp. It's outside the gate. Amen, Jeff. Never go out the same door you came in.
Amen.
For if we live willfully, I'm sorry. For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, what? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Our text, Matthew 7:13 and 14, enter straight. That's the way, but few there be that find it. An old black man told me many years ago, I think he might have been a preacher, I don't remember, it's been so many years ago. And he said, oh, heaven is like a wagon wheel. And he said, You've got that hub in the middle, that's heaven. And he said, there's many spokes that lead to that hub. But I beg to differ with him. Because I've only, where I'm going, I only found one way. The way. I didn't get religion. I got Christ. I got saved. I got born again of the Spirit of God. Was it a religious experience? I guess by definition, yes. Was there emotion involved? Yeah, my emotion. Wasn't emotion in God when it happened. He was the same. You see? That's the way a good father raises a child. Because when emotion gets involved, it just doesn't work out too well. But that's the way. And it's the only way. I'm sure grateful for it.